Good morning, everyone. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Shane Sheely, and I'm the associate pastor here in this church. My wife and I have been here in Meadow Lake for about 8 years now, we've been loving our ministry here. I'm just going to explain a little bit about what happens as far as youth ministry in the church, and then I'll call the others forward to share. What we have going is we have two youth evenings throughout the week during the year. Wednesday night is it was traditionally more of the youth from our church who were engaged with that youth group, and over the years we still have youth from our church coming, but it's more turned into they've brought friends or word of mouth, and now I would say probably 3/4 of the youth that come on a Wednesday night come from unchurched homes. Which is really exciting for us leaders to have that opportunity to speak God's word into their lives, maybe for the first time. We also have another youth group on Thursday night, and this is more of a rowdy, crazy group of community kids primarily, or all of them are community kids, and mostly junior high students. That group is normally a little bigger and more going on, more running around in the church, and we turn off the lights, and we, the attention span for these youth are a little shorter, and we try to cram in as much as we can, and more of the basics of the gospel, who Jesus is and what he wants, what he wants from them and who he wants to be in their lives. We try to give them hope. Because a lot of them come from situations that are, quite frankly, they seem hopeless. But these students love coming, and they love the energy, and they've latched on to youth leaders who pay attention to them and who love them. And so both groups are very fulfilling, and it's an honor to be a part of them. So we have a few testimonies, and I'm going to start with Belinda Martin. She has been serving at the Wednesday night youth group for about 6 years now, and she's away this weekend, but she gave Robin her talk. So Robin, please come up and share.
Good morning. I will be reading just exactly what Belinda has sent me. Excuse me. My name is Belinda Martin, and I've been in youth ministry for 8 years. Getting into youth ministry totally happened by chance for me. We had just moved to Hepburn after getting married in 2009 and planned on attending the same church as Matt's older brother, Nathan, and his wife, Lynn. The church was desperate for youth leaders, so Nathan volunteered Matt and I to work with them. At first, I did a little awkward and begrudgingly. Over time, I realized it was something that I really enjoyed. It's not something I probably would have chosen for myself, so it's good that God placed me there instead of letting me choose. Thinking back, my teen years were some of the most defining years of my life. I became a Christian when I was 14 at Bethel Gospel Camp, and youth group was an amazing tool in helping me grow in my faith and becoming the person I am today. So it makes sense that God had placed me here, since I understand the importance of ministry during teenage years. I really don't know where I would be without youth group. That's where I formed my core group of friends, who are still my best friends to this day. Friends really make a difference in shaping who we are as well. I also really love youth ministry, because I joke that I never matured past high school, so it makes it a lot easier to relate. I try to be for the teenagers someone I would have needed in high school. We always knew Rob and Amanda's door was always open, so I like the teens to know that as well. And if they're hungry, I will feed them. A great benefit of being a youth leader is getting to build relationships with some awesome teenagers. Matt and I are still in touch with many of the teenagers that were in our youth group in Hepburn and have been majorly blessed by them. Besides always being willing to help us work on our house in Hepburn, four of them even drove up last May to help us build a deck. Matt's job didn't allow him to help the youth any longer, and I was sad to not always have him with me by my side, but love that he's always willing to have the house full of teens whenever the occasion arises. My house feels so empty since so many of them are at camp for the summer. Youth ministry is not always easy. We had one of our youth live with us for a year. I've talked to people through suicidal thoughts and actions, helped people wrap their heads around what the Bible says about homosexuality, explaining abortion, cried with teenagers when their 16-year-old friend was taken by cancer, and so on. Youth ministry is not easy. Every year for the last 8 years have been my last year because I love the kids so much and feel so drained by the end of the year that I feel like I couldn't possibly do another. But God tells me that this is not my last year, so I listen. A big part of the reason I do what I do is because Jesus came back from the dead. He commanded us to go out and make disciples of all nations. I don't feel as though I'm particularly gifted in this area, but as Christians, we are all called to do this, no matter if we feel gifted or not. I want everyone to know about the love of Jesus and the hope that we have in him, and youth ministry has been my way of trying to do that. Matthew 28, 16 to 20, the ESV version, the Great Commission, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said to them, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.
Thank you, Robin, for reading Belinda's testimony as far as leading youth. And she's a valuable youth leader, someone who is dependable, someone who we've learned to work together over the last 6 years. And I would say it's very exciting to have Belinda. And the youth would concur that she is fantastic. Now I'll call up Heidi. Heidi is, she's served with the Thursday night group. And please share.
Good morning. What a beautiful day it is outside today. By the time I walked to church this morning, and it was so beautiful, and I left my house and it's gorgeous, and I'm walking, and suddenly I feel really, really hot. And then by the time I got here, I wasn't sweating, but I was glistening, which is nice that it's not raining outside. Yes, some of you might know me, and some of you may not. My name's Heidi Lossett. I've been attending the E3 here since February 2016, and my husband is Derek Lossett, and he works at the Door of Hope. Before I kind of share about my experiences in youth ministry as a youth and as a leader, I just want to thank the Wednesday night and Thursday night youth leaders. Some of them are here, some of them aren't, but they do just such a fantastic job, and it's so awesome to work on a team with them. So thank you very much for all of your help. As Shane said, there are two youth groups at our church. I volunteer with the Thursday night group, and the Thursday night group is kind of more of a drop-in style community youth, mostly junior teens, and I'm also a teacher, and I taught grade 8 this year, so very familiar with that group. Being a teenager is very difficult. It's very hard, you know. I don't know if some of you remember back to your teen years. It might have been a while for a few, but it can seem like your world is just falling in on you. Doesn't matter if you come from a home where the Bible is being taught and it's very loving, or if you come from a home where it's a really rough ride. And there's actually a reason for that. This year, I did some research. I kept asking myself, why is it that every single day, especially for my girls in my class who are 13 and 14, is there like a total emotional breakdown happening? I don't know if some of you are parents to teenagers, but one day everything is fine, and the next day the world is ending. And something that I discovered was kind of interesting, and I thought I'd just share it with you. When you are a teenager, there's some very complex things happening in your neural development, and I'm sure some other people could explain it a little bit better, but basically there's this kind of massive neural pruning that's happening. And when they put kids, teens, I should say, underneath an MRI scan, and they are socially isolated teens, the same parts of their brains light up, as if they were physically starving. So if you took, you know, a 13-year-old teen who has not been regularly fed, and you put them under this scanner, and you put a teen who is being bullied or is socially isolated or is undergoing abuse under the scanner, their same areas of their brains would light up, because when you're a lonely and hurt teenager, it literally feels like you're starving. And that just motivated me so much this year as I went through youth group with my teens. And I just wanted to share that with you because it might make you help make you understand what your youth and your family or in your community are going through, no matter what station they're in. So while I share, I just want to answer kind of three key questions about youth ministry. The first one is, what does youth ministry mean to me? The second one is, what does the Bible say about youth? And the third one is, what can you do if you would like to get involved in youth ministry in our community? So yes, the first one, what does youth ministry mean to me? Well, when I was 13, I joined a youth group. I was living in Okotoks, Alberta, and I joined Dan Schroeder's youth group, and he is, I believe he is a relative of Mr. Schroeder here at our church. And wow, what an awesome youth group it was. I was a very hurting young woman. I definitely would have been a part of the Thursday night community youth. I had a lot of things going on in my life that were very scary. And Dion also mentioned, you know, fear earlier. I think that's something I can really relate to. And our Friday night youth group gave me a place to have fun. It was safe, you know, we got a nutritious snack and hung out with all these awesome adults. And pretty soon, the favorite part of my youth nights became the short Bible study that we did at the end of youth. I came for a safe place, but what I left with was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and some awesome adults who really cared for me and invested in my life. I also started working at Big River Bible Camp through my youth group. They encouraged me to give back after I became a Christian to different ministries. And I think that's really great because it taught me how to live in the church. You know, church is not supposed to be a place where you come in, you always consume messages, you know, emotional labor. It's supposed to be a place where you also give back, and that was instilled in me from a very young age by my youth group. It taught me how to be a church member, and I think that's really important as so many 20-somethings are leaving our churches in droves, really, because that hasn't been instilled in them. When I moved to Saskatoon, when I was 16, I joined another youth group, Emmanuel Baptist, and once again, just amazing support, taught me a lot about the Bible. There were specific turning points I can think of in my teen years where I would be having kind of a bit of a crisis. What do I do about this situation or that situation? And I would go to youth group once again on Friday nights, and it would totally just speak into my life and help me to make positive choices that have led me to be, you know, a lifelong believer, somebody who is following after or trying to follow after Jesus Christ every day. So that's my experience as a youth. And then from, you know, age of 19, have been working in different youth ministries in different capacities, Big River Bible Camp, Sunday school youth, and what it's still giving back to me, but just in different ways now. So my second question was, what does the Bible say about youth? Interestingly enough, Jewish people and Jewish culture didn't really have this distinct group that we call youth, you know, these 13 to 18-year-olds who are trying to figure life out. You became a man or a woman after you had your bar bat mitzvah, and then you had a lot of adult expectations placed on you. So there isn't very much in the Bible that talks about youth specifically, but there are some verses, and the reason I mention that is there's actually quite a huge underground movement to get rid of youth groups. I don't know if Shane is, but there's a lot of traditionalists who believe that youth groups aren't a place that should be, that we should be training children to become adults, and I wholeheartedly disagree. Youth is a really important time, and it should be a specific ministry, and it should be a ministry that continues to exist in our churches, and I just say that out of my own experience, but also new research that's coming out where science is really backing up this youth movement. But anyways, this first verse is 1 Timothy 4:12, and many of you are probably familiar with it. And it reads in the ESV, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." And then the second verse I'd like to share with you is Psalm 119, verse 9. Once again, one that you are all probably have heard before, but maybe not. Psalm 119, verse 9. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." So both these verses, what they say to me is that youth are capable to internalize godly values, and they have a potential for godly living. And that youth must be taught God's word. No one comes out of the womb knowing the word of God. And it must be an intentional ministry that we continue. So that just begs the question, the third key question, what can you do to influence a youth? Well, the first thing that you can do to influence a youth is getting your own spiritual life in shape. The children and teens around you are not given a free pass by Satan because they're simply children or teens. Satan wants your kids. He wants them. He wants to destroy their lives and ruin them. And I know that sounds very serious, but it's true. I had one student this year who is 13, and she had a panic attack in middle of class, and I cleared the room, and I started talking to her about, okay, what's going on here? What's going on here? And once she had calmed down, and she had been... she was being oppressed by a demon in her home. And, you know, I've had teens at youth this year who profess Christ but are being just attacked constantly by Satan. And they need adult protection. They need people in their lives to do heavy spiritual lifting for them because they're young. They need people to teach them and to shepherd them in their Christian life. They can't do it by themselves. They can't. And that's why... youth ministry is so important, as well as just being a parent, being an auntie, an uncle, an older person in church. So the first step to helping a youth is getting your own spiritual life in hand, becoming someone who follows God every day and can sense and discern when people need prayer, when people need encouragement. The youth in our church, they can't do it by themselves. They need adults to watch over them, spiritually fit adults. The second thing you can do is you can go into a formal or informal ministry. So some informal ministry opportunities that each person in this church has is parenting. Also just informal mentorship, hanging out with the youth in your life, taking them out for a coffee or inviting them over. And also just prayer. Maybe you're the kind of person who finds teenagers to be incredibly awkward creatures. you can just pray for the youth in your life. You know, every time you see that kid, send up a quick little arrow prayer. You can also join some formal ministries. We do have two youth groups, as Shane said before. We both need leaders. We're specifically in need of male leaders. That's a huge need that we have, and I'm sure the boys in our youth group would really like it if we could tone down the estrogen some weeks. Sunday school as well. We need Sunday school teachers and Bible camp. If you don't have, you know, a night that works for you to help with youth ministry, camp is a really great place. So yeah, that's all I have to say about youth ministry. Thank you, Shane, for inviting me up.
Thank you, Heidi. I was asked to share this morning, and they gave me two kind of guidelines. What got me into youth ministry, and what is my passion surrounding it? And so I gave it some thought, and there's a verse from Proverbs that really speaks about how I got into youth ministry. And it reads, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." That's Proverbs 16:9. Before I started the church, I had no desire to work with youth. My picture of a youth pastor was someone who just loved doing crazy things and fired teenagers up, and there was all this hype. And if you know me, you know exactly I'm not that person. I thought that youth pastors were guys who honestly lacked depth in taking life seriously and engaging serious issues in life. And I thought that their one kind of job or their main job was to keep teenagers from doing bad things, right? Kind of be the distraction in life until they're adults and they can choose for themselves. And none of that appealed to me as I entered my theological studies. My goal for going to Bible college was to learn the scriptures and to learn how to apply them in a local church setting. Little did I know that He would want me to do the things that I wanted, the exact things that I wanted to do, but only in a youth setting, or mainly in a youth setting. I love communicating about God's riches with others and thinking about the Word, thinking about truth, and separating it from what culture says. And shortly after starting my position here at the church, I found out that my passion was those same things, but speaking and communicating and thinking about God's truth with teenagers. At some point in my young adult life, I had forgotten what it was like to be a teenager, to have the enthusiasm and the idealism in life, the excitement. And I think that excitement, that enthusiasm and idealism is a gift from God. And it's a gift that He gives to our young people because they see our world as a place that can be changed. You know, when we get older, we get a little jaded and stuck in our thoughts. But they see the world as something that they can have an impact on, and that's a great thing. That's one reason why I love being around teenagers. You know, as if you are a parent of someone who is going through those transitions in life, you may know someone who is moody. You know, who's sharp at you. Who doesn't want to talk to you. And those are the people that don't come to youth group. Teenagers come and they seem to just be thrilled to be a part of something bigger. They're people who want to learn, who want to engage with God's word, who want to engage with tough topics, but at the same time who are there and they want to have fun. They can have fun, but they also are people who are serious and who can think, and I love that about our the youth. Romans 10:13 reads, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him unless they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them?" You know, when I read these verses, everyone should take a hold of that, right? As we look at the people in our lives, how can they believe if no one's going to tell them? For me, those verses like that come alive when I think of youth group. That they are coming, they're coming to us, and we can speak truth into their lives. You know, they're there to listen and soak up God's truth. Philippians 4:1 reads, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." You know, I was up at camp this last week, and I taught the lights a couple sessions, and they're going through the book of Philippians, and I was trying to unpack a couple passages for them. And I was telling them that the Apostle Paul, he went around planting churches, and he planted this church in Philippi. And then he moved on. And as he remembered the people in Philippi, you can get the sense, if you read the whole book at once, that he had such a concern for them. He had such a heart for those people, people in the church that he planted, and for good reason. He poured out his energy and his life into them, sometimes over months, and other times, even years. Paul was invested in those people. He loved those people. When I read about his concern that they stand firm in the Lord, something resonates within myself that I have for every teenager who comes through our youth ministry program. I long for them to grow up in Christ. I long for them to live life in a way that serves Him. A way that sees that Christ is—he is overall. He is the goal. He is the reason why we are here. And when I see these young people grow up over the years and hear news about what they're doing, it just really excites me that Jesus Christ is their reason for life. For me and the other youth leaders, it's very much a privilege and an honor to minister to the young people of this church and also to our community. So for myself, you know, you can tell that the youth bring a lot of joy to me, to my life, but they're not the only ones that that do that. When I think of my youth leaders, the ones who are working beside me, it also brings me a joy. The other leaders who serve alongside make life much more fulfilling. Paul wrote to individuals who had like-mindedness, and I'm going to go back to Philippians. People who had passions that lined up with him, people who worked alongside. You know, he wasn't just a lone ranger. He was beside other people. He was a part of a team. Philippians 1, 4, and 5 reads, In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, Paul had partners in the gospel. Philippians 1:27. I will know that you are standing firm with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. When I read verses like this, I get a sense that Paul saw himself, working beside kind of like fellow soldiers. There were these people that he was in this unit with. They were soldiers, and they had one goal, and they were fighting together. They weren't fighting each other. They were side by side, fighting for the gospel. And this is what I feel like I have with the youth leaders here in our church. We gather and we pray for the teenagers that come through the doors each week. We meet and we talk about how we are running the groups. We evaluate and we critique our efforts, and it's such a beautiful thing to be a part of a team. I want to thank those who have fought for the gospel alongside of me, for the teenagers of this church, and I can't express my gratitude enough. Thank you. I know Jessica's not here, and Kyla and Raylene aren't here, but thank you, Heidi, and Belinda's also not here, so Heidi, you can pass that on to them. It's such a great feeling to work alongside, to be one of the leaders. And for those of you who have contributed to this ministry through hosting a meal or a portion of a meal, for those of you who have provided snack or have given financially to a teenager who is in need, for those who are praying for our young people, I want to show you my appreciation to you for engaging, for contributing to the investment of our young people here in this church. And as a church, for giving me this position and allowing me to serve here at Meadow Lake Evangelical Free Church. You know, when I came here, so many of my paradigms of what I thought church ministry and youth ministry going into a local church, they were just blown apart. It wasn't too long that when after I started, I saw the older people in this church have a heart for the younger people. And what I thought before was that, you know, older people were just annoyed with these young people who were making too much noise, or they were, you know, not serious, or they played drums, right? But that wasn't the case here. I've always seen the older people excited about the youth here. And that's such a great thing. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I hope that you've been encouraged this morning hearing about our church's ministry to our youth. Like Heidi and Belinda said, it's such a crucial time in life, you know, and when they come out of those teen years, they take a road to journey on. And the road that they take, it kind of solidifies every day that they go down that road. It's harder to turn back and jump onto the other road. So thank you so much for helping our youth, our young people, take the narrow road that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your plan. We thank you that, Lord, that you involve us in your kingdom work, that your spirit is alive and willing us and changing our mind to want to will your plans. Father, I pray that you would continually mold us to the image of your Son. Father, I pray for our ministries, various ministries in our church that are teaching young people. And Lord, we even think of children's ministry, how important that is. And we think of the camp right now. We thank you for this last week that they had a full camp, Lord, that there was so many kids that heard your good news. Father, I pray that whatever capacity that we have to invest into other people, I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. I pray that we would be fulfilled, knowing that you are using us for your kingdom purposes. Father, I pray for us now as we leave. I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that we would be excited for the fall again, and even relationships that we can build throughout this summer, that we can be on the same team. We can be fighting for your gospel together. Thank you, Lord, for the church, and thank you for your presence in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for the benediction. Now go in the love of the Father and the peace of Jesus Christ and the fellowship with his Holy Spirit. Amen. And a reminder that June is going to be up front and he will be willing to pray with anyone.